Blog Talk Radio.
Bigfoot Ground Zero. This is Dave. Thanks again for listening. I know there are a lot of things you could be doing right now, but you choose to tune in. I appreciate that. 8 o'clock on Saturday nights. We might be switching in the summertime to midweek. I know people want to get out and do things on the weekends, so with the weather being good. So we'll see how that works out. I'll let you know a couple of shows ahead of time so you can set your watches by it. How's that? Anyway, I wanted to give a special shout out to somebody I work with who absolutely loves the show. It's a little uncomfortable because he's always coming over and talking to me about the show. I work with a kid, so, you know, his name's Topher, and that's bad enough. His mother named him Christopher, and she was too lazy to actually say Christopher, so he grew up thinking his name was Topher. So that explains a lot, and I'm sure he could have done a lot better in life if that had not been the case. So anyway, my apologies, Topher. All right, you are listening to Bigfoot Ground Zero. Once again, my name is Dave, and I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about the Pacific Northwest and some of the sounds that we heard and had recorded during the Olympic Project public expedition. Geez, has it been a couple of months already? Anyway, David Ellis will join us. He has three choice sounds that we need to listen to, and I promise you this will be a good show. You definitely do not want to tune out. I don't say that often, but these are great sounds that we got. And, you know, these recordings they're going to sound a lot like the Ohio Howl, and I'm going to play that at the end. So when you listen to this, you can think, you know, okay, what do I A-B this off of? Because we're going to play sounds that were recorded while people were awake, sounds that were recorded while they were asleep, all different times. And David does a really good job of this, and he also does a really good job of staying objective to what he's hearing. There's no confirmation bias, and I really try to lead him in that direction. He never takes the bait. But yeah, so looking forward to a program. I think you're going to like this tonight, like it a lot. And let's see, I think I've covered off on everything. Let's go ahead and get to the interview. Let's talk to David Ellis, and then you will hear me on the back end. I'll play the Ohio Howl so that you can kind of listen to what we recorded and what the Ohio Howl sounds like, you know, different regions of the country, of course, but the similarities from what we've seen in Sonic Visualizer are amazing. And again, I urge you to download Sonic Visualizer. It's free. It does not do anything bad to your computer, I promise. And, you know, bounce it off the Macaulay Sound Library at Cornell University. All right, off to the interview, and I'll see you guys on the other side. All right, as promised, it is David Ellis with the Olympic Project. I feel like this is kind of, it's OPR at this point. It's Olympic Project Radio, David, but, you know, it is what it is. I hope I don't go to the well too many times. Thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, listen, I'm excited because I've been teasing the audience for a couple of weeks now about these sounds that we're going to hear. And I know it's serious. You take it seriously. I do too. But this is what I call squatch porn, where it's the, everyone gets down to it and it's like, oh my God, look at that, you know? And this is going to speak to what we talk about when we talk about not trusting your ears. You have to see it in order to believe what your ears are hearing. So many elements go into it. You're out there. You're in the moment. You know, you're thinking squatch already. So every breaking twig or whatever the case is. So just for the folks out there tonight, you guys, we're going to actually talk to David about three specific recordings he made. And these were all while we were on the expedition, public expedition, up in the Olympic National Forest. I don't know, is it state forest or national forest? I mix the two.
Well, there's a national forest, and then there's the Olympic Park, and we weren't really in either.
Right. See, so. There you go. I'm glad you could correct me on this, too. That's all right.
We're close by.
That's all right. See, this is why I keep you around, David. You keep me grounded. You know what I mean? I'm just going to go off at the hip, and you're just like, no, let's pull it back a little bit there.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, it was a great time. Learned a lot. I think, these recordings, well, they kind of solidify a couple of things for me. It's one of these things when I heard these that, one, I was like, wow, I was there. And even though we were asleep when some of these recordings were made, these, to me, in my mind, are pretty interesting. And the other thing is now it kind of motivates you even more to get out, and kind of look around. So now I know why you guys do this, and the more that you find,
yeah.
I think you find. So what, talk to me a little bit about these, recordings in the sense of mindset as to when you were making them. You have a methodology for placing the microphones and all of that sort of thing. Kind of walk us through what it is you do in prep.
Well, in this particular circumstance, I have a little place that I put the microphone, or excuse me, the recorder, so that it's a kind of away from everybody, but at the same time, it can be close enough to pick up something if somebody's walking by. So it's a dry place. That's one of my concerns about leaving it out in the open. I do put a baggie around it just to keep moisture and dew and things of that nature. It's going to be out all night, and if you leave it out all night and don't protect it, it could have some water damage.
Sure.
So there's a little place that I put it, and I just let it run all night long. And the reason I do that is that when I review the audio, I do it by sight. So I get through the files fairly quickly. I think we've talked about how
sure.
I review in spectrographic analysis. So I know the suspicious sounds that I'm looking or hoping to record, and we'll be talking about those three recordings tonight. Those were all found visually, and then I go through the process of elimination. Well, what are the chances that this could be, one of the guests? So.
Okay, so you got three of those. Did you kick out any others that you just had to throw aside? I mean, how many did you find that you were, all right, I got three, but man, I looked at 20.
Oh, good question. To be honest with you, I've looked at enough audio since then, I can't really remember what all was recorded that night that I thought I identified maybe some people. Now these three were all suspicious, but as we go through and listen to them, we can talk about each one individually.
Sure, sure. All right, so let's go ahead and listen to the first one. This one you had labeled as possible guest. Just so you folks know out there, I'm going to just let you know kind of what you're hearing. It sounds like what you would consider a traditional Bigfoot howl. I'm lining this up first one because the last one, the two coincide, and I'll be quiet about that one. So let's go ahead and play that, and we'll talk about it on the back end. Okay, so David, what we heard was looped.
Right.
So it's obviously you heard it once. We looped it. It didn't go consecutively. What are your thoughts on this? Because you had this labeled as probable guest.
Right. Well, I did that because of the time. The time element, I think, was around 11 o'clock in the evening. And I remember that we were still up. Some people were going in and out of the main cabin. And so if they did, by chance, let one loose, you know, just to test their lungs, it's a possibility.
Sure.
I don't know of anybody that did it. Of course, I don't find it until after everybody's gone. So knowing who was there and who wasn't there, we have people coming in and going out.
Sure.
So it just, to me, was a possibility that it could have been one of the guests. Not that it was.
Right.
It was fairly loud in comparison to another one that we'll analyze that sounds fairly similar that was very far away.
Now I noticed in this recording that there seems to be a certain signature at the beginning and the end of these, almost like a ramp-up kind of thing.
Right.
Do you notice in these howls that sometimes it just happens, and then sometimes it ramps up? Is there any similarity to the suspicious ones versus the ones that you think are human-created? Or
there's a – what I look for is a specific hertz, and it's what's the term I'm looking for here? Harmonics.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a lower harmonic, I'm suspicious that it's a person. If there's a lot of upper harmonics, I'm suspicious it's a person. But at a distance, the harmonics are more faint and harder to see. But it's very unlikely that that I would misinterpret a human vocalization. But at the same time, I'm not infallible.
Sure.
So that's why I put suspicious.
Sure.
Or
you
probable.
Know, we're going to get to the second sound in just a second. But as a songwriter and a singer, I've been doing that for quite a few years. I know certain sounds and the way people are singing, projecting when it's open throat or from the diaphragm.
Right.
It seems to be, I mean, you can have both, obviously, but the sound that comes out, the suspicious sounds to me seem more, there's more of a depth and an open throatedness to them, if that makes sense, texturally
sure.
than the others. Am I out
right.
of my mind, or is that kind of?
No. The signature is a little more thick, if you will, or
right.
broad in the hertz range. Than a person, and it also doesn't resonate as high in hertz. The upper harmonics seem to cut off at a certain area. I don't want to give away too many cards here.
Sure, no, but, I got it.
Yeah.
My goal, David, is eventually we're going to talk about Sonic Visualizer so much, people are going to get so pissed off, they're just going to go download the free software. It's free.
Yeah, it's free.
You know, and the Macaulay Sound Library from Cornell University, go bounce stuff off of that. You'll have a lot of fun. So, you know, get people to that point. But let's take a look at the second recording. And this to me is pure spookiness. So I emailed this to a friend. I said, welcome to the creepy. He had no idea what I was talking about, but here we go. Let's take a listen. So that was looped five times, and it sounded like call and response to me.
Yes.
But for some reason, that recording just gives me the chills. And you, I gotta tell you, when I got that email, it kind of disappointed me. It didn't piss me off, but it disappointed me that you had labeled it probable guest. And I was like, no. But you know what? In all honesty, it's the way to go, because again, we were up at that time. But go ahead and you do your analysis. I'll back out here.
Okay. Well, what you have to do is prove it's not a person. So that's where the rub comes in. We look at it visually and you go, wow, that's weird. That's very strange. And it is. You can tell by hearing that it is strange. But can a person do that call? Maybe. Yeah. And the response, could they do that kind of a response? Yeah, maybe. So until you can conclusively eliminate it, you have to put it on the probable list, because we're known and the other isn't. So, me, it's degrees of suspicion, and yes, this is highly, highly suspicious.
This is one of those things where the 10-year-old David Ellis is fighting the more scientific, older-minded David Ellis.
Yes.
And you know that's true, right? Don't lie about
it. No, it is true.
And I just don't know what that was. Let's go ahead and play that again, because that was interesting, and I know people want to go ahead and hear that. Yeah, I don't know. That's I'm not going to lie to you. I'm probably going to make that my ringtone on my phone. I don't know. It's now I noticed that you were when you sent me these specific files, I played the ones that were bumped up a little bit volume-wise. I've monkeyed around with Sonic Visualizer, and what I'm learning is when I get the clip and I put it to MP3, there's a certain ambient sound of the force. Like when you play something, it's almost like the white noise in an office.
Right.
When you get a sound, there's just that sound around that you know it's the woods. Forget the bugs and birds and everything. It's just open and out there.
Yeah.
At what point, when you're bumping something up, do you say, okay, that's enough because I've blown away all the characteristics around the sound?
Good question. A lot of my stuff is enhanced. When I find something interesting, I have the ability to like color within the lines when you know where the vocalization is, and increase the volume. But you can create some artifacts, and you really do have to be careful. So it's give and take. Still learning some things about it, learning how to reduce the ambient, because part of the sound is in the ambient too.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily come real clear in the spectrogram. And if you end up cutting some of those sounds out, you start to lose that texture.
Yeah. So, that's a problem. I know, what do they call that timbre it's the texture of the sound.
Yeah. Timbre.
It's like a flavor. Yeah, it's that real fine line, and I noticed when you bump some of these sounds, especially the one that we're about to hear, it's there, but you took it to a level where you can hear what you need to hear, and I also love the fact that you really have to pay attention.
Yeah.
Because it puts you in it.
Well, this last one that we're going to hear is the most suspicious. It was recorded at 2:50 a.m., almost 3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody was turned in by then, and the vocalization was a long way away. It wasn't near. You can tell that by looking at the spectrogram. You can see it's a very light impression, so I had to enhance it to get it to the level that we're going to hear. So I'm guesstimating that whatever was recorded was at least a mile, mile and a half away.
And folks, just so you know, these these recorders, you're using a Roland R05, aren't you? That's the one that I purchased. Basically, was that what recorded this?
Actually, it's the iteration just prior to the RL5.
Okay. So, folks, these are very small, compact recorders, but very, very powerful.
They're studio quality.
Yeah. I mean, they were designed to do that, right?
Yes.
Record
yes.
live performances and
yes.
that sort of thing?
Yes.
So let's go ahead and play this sound, and I want to liken it to something that I've heard online a couple of times. Once is up here in the Northeast, but let's go ahead and play this sound. All right, that again was looped five times, and boy, you listen to that, and if you don't get suspicious, I think where that might have been coming from based on where you had placed that recorder,
mm-hmm.
and it was probably up and
yes.
over those hills behind the property.
Yes, that's my guess as well.
But when you listen to that, there's just something about it. Your gut tells you, your brain can't let you go there, obviously, from a research standpoint. But man, you've been doing this for a while. When you heard that, what was your initial thought?
I think I got something.
And folks, that's as much as you're ever going to get from him. No.
So
that sound, let's play it again just one more time, because I know people want to hear it just to kind of get another thing. Here we go. All right, so we're gonna enjoy the afterglow for a second. That was just beautiful. I think there's a sound that I've heard online. There's a recording of this same howl to a T, texturally, length of it, just everything about it. There's a dog yapping in the background. You might have heard this one before. It was up in the White Mountains. I'm going to play that at the end of the show.
Okay.
I'm going to play that at the end of the show. And what I'll do is I want people to – I'll A and B it against this on the outro on the way out.
Okay.
But I think what will happen is people will see the similarity. The reason I cued in on that was because it's interesting that some of these sounds that you're recording – there's a sameness in ones that are happening across the country. Now, can some be fake? Absolutely.
Well, there's a sameness in human beings too. So that's the rub.
Correct. That's the rub. So I'm on the trail today. I'm in hiking the base of Mount Monadnock. I didn't summit because up at the top it was really windy and it just rained all day. But I went around the base trails and spent about 4 or 5 hours out there. Carried a recorder the whole time. Learn some things. You'll hear me on the audio. I'll send it to you. You're going to laugh. Say, oh, I hear voices. It's literally a brook actually babbling.
right?
What was the other thing?
Hence the other term.
Yes, hence the term, Babbling Brook. I did hear, there's voices, and I thought I was alone. Then somebody would come down the trail. What are the most common mistakes that people make typically when they're out there and they're, you know, other than not trusting your ears? I get that. What are some of the common mistakes people make?
Reacting.
Yeah, take that further. What do you mean?
Okay, so you're recording and they hear a howl or a scream or something, and immediately, did you hear that before it's even finished howling?
Yeah.
And I call that stepping on the recording. So what I found that I had to do was separate myself from the group, because we can't control ourselves. We have to have to react. You either get a gasp or, you know, somebody even whispering, thinking that that's not going to interfere with the recording, comes through loud and clear. So it's just and that's another reason why I like to place the recorder in a place where people just aren't going to be near it, because conversing and people are just, you know, they're social and like to talk.
Well, look at what happened to us on the expedition. It was myself, Todd, Cindy, Shane, and Bobby, and we're sitting around the fire and we're talking, and not really, we forgot to pay attention. Now, maybe we're camping, what you're supposed to do, right? So
yeah.
You know, things notice you.
Right.
Sure enough, we're talking, laughing, and that howl whoop thing happens more than a few hundred yards away.
Yeah.
And what did we all do? Hey, did you hear that? It
was
immediately. And so, I mean, you're damned if you do or damned if you don't, because if you separate yourself from a safety standpoint, just being in the woods, you know, you like to have the buddy system.
Right.
But you're less apt to go, wait, what, when there's no one there.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's kind of an imperfect thing, but.
Yeah. Trying to get the recording device away from the group, if at all possible.
Okay. What else? What are some other things that, you know, people come to you with and get all excited about, and you're like, well, you did this, and this wrong?
Oh, gosh. You know, just learning the device, learning audio levels. Don't assume that each recording area is going to be the same. You want to carry your headphones and kind of, you know, do some audio checks. Try to not be in places where wind or weather can affect the recording device. You know, if there's a gust of wind, sometimes if you don't have you know, what's called a dead cat or something to obscure the wind, your recorder will pick that up, and it's just this, you know, this booming, rasping sound throughout the whole recording. You know, insects. In some places, insects will just absolutely override the recording. So, you know, it's just all sorts of different things. It's learning by doing it wrong first.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
It's like cooking, right?
Yeah.
When I was out today, I had noticed, you know, I think the best advice that I've gotten about the whole Bigfooting thing or research or whatever the hell it is I do, I don't know, I walk around the woods, but you said to me, just enjoy the journey.
Right.
And I think what happens to most people when they go out there is they forget to just relax and have fun. And what was really cool is when I had this recorder today in my hand and I was holding it walking around, it forced me to walk a little more quietly. It forced me to just kind of calm down a little bit because I wanted to catch sounds.
Right.
And I noticed more.
Yes.
I actually, listen, I'll send you a picture. I came across a porcupine today 2 feet from me. I reached down and took a picture. I noticed these little orange salamanders that they have up in New Hampshire, and they're, you know, they're quite slow. I don't know how they live so long. I think they're toxic. That's why. But you just notice things. I was able to get up closer to deer than I have in a long time. That's what I attribute it to, is just kind of being out there, being quiet, and just relaxing. I mean, do you agree? I mean, that's the mindset you take, right? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Yep. You got it.
All right. Well, Listen, man, it's just been a kind of a shorter segment. I wanted to get to those sounds. I know you have a lot to do, and I know that you you give me a lot of your time, and I appreciate it. But I'm going to play those sounds again near the end of the show, if you don't mind. I think the audience will get a kick out of that.
Okay, absolutely.
So, all right, David. So thanks so much. If you guys want to get in touch with David Ellis, you can either do it on his website, olympicproject.com, or bigfootgroundzero@gmail.com, and I can hook you guys up. So if you didn't have anything else, David, I think we're good to go.
Okay. It's always a pleasure, David. Thank you very much.
Likewise. All right. Over and out.
Okay. Thank you.
I feel like if you're interested in the subject of Sasquatch and you heard that episode that we just did, the interviews, and you heard the sounds and you don't get fired up, well, I think it's time for you to go do something else. Because I got to tell you, I mean, I was there. I was at the location. We heard some interesting things. The fact that those were recorded, when we were sleeping or at locations where, I'm going to tell you, I don't think people were there, but we have to assume that they were. And I'm going to, on the outro here, on the end of this, I'm going to go ahead and play the Ohio howl. You'll see the similarities. Obviously, there's a dog barking in one. But you're going to see the similarities, and I'm telling you, if you look at the sound signatures for these, so for example, the first, what we thought might be a guest howl, compared to the second one, which is recorded at 3 a.m., if you look at those together and you just listen to them, you're going to come to the conclusion that they're probably the same thing, which means a couple of things. One, the first one was a Sasquatch, and the second one was a Sasquatch, or the first one was a human, or the second one was a human, or they were a mix, right? Somebody was howling at one time and maybe a Sasquatch at the other. Very well and good, and I completely understand. If you look at the signatures of these, and if you record this, there's software out there that you can just grab this show off the sound card and just go ahead and look at this on a, again, Sonic Visualizer is a great tool. You're going to see that the signatures are different. And it doesn't matter the distance so much. You're going to still get a certain vocal or sound signature based on what is making these noises. And as I was putting these things together, before I popped them into Sonic Visualizer and was looking at them, I'm like, well, maybe they're going to be the same and then I don't have a show. Or we're going to have to change what it is we're doing to say, oh, look, you could be fooled by sounds that are actually human beings out in the woods. Not the case. So the one that we had at 2:50 a.m. when everyone was definitely asleep, and the area that it was coming from, there were these, hills slash mountains up behind the property where we were. There's nothing back there. I mean, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of acres before you get into anything. You know, I think you'll hit the ocean at that point before you really get into anywhere. So very interesting. Thanks so much for checking it out. Thanks for staying tuned in. I'm going to go ahead and play the Ohio Howl. Don't forget that Bigfoot Ground Zero is a part of the Bigfoot Worldwide Radio Network. Go to bigfootgroundzero.org. You can go ahead and check out other Sasquatch and Bigfoot-related shows that I am placing on weekly. And before long, we'll have a central repository for all of those shows for you guys to check out. So again, my name is Dave. You've been listening to Bigfoot Ground Zero. Until next time, over and out.
Whenever I get home, I wish I knew what happened at every time two people meet. Oh, the world is big, but I know there's nobody made for me. Becky lived in a one-horse town with ribbons in her hair, waiting for that shining night to take her out of there. And Becky never wanted any more than she could hold. She'd given up on finding love a long, long time ago. And Becky said, I wish I had someone to call my own and have my lover wait for me whenever I get home. I wish I knew what happened every time you before me. Oh, the world is big, but I know there's nobody made for me. Up and then he gently took the hand of the lover he'd been looking for since before his life began. Carl